morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to be with you all this morning. Couple of announcements to share with you. The first announcement is session. We are going to have our monthly session meeting in my office immediately after the service. Turn the air conditioning on so it should be cool by the end of our service together. My other announcement is, in case you haven't picked up on the vibe, we have a baptism today. We're going to be baptizing baby Isla, which I'm excited about. A few of you have asked about how this is happening, and just to let everyone know, one of my Mount Nebo members, Joan, this is Joan's granddaughter and great-granddaughter, and they live here in Shaler, so it just made more sense to do it here than to do it at Mount Nebo. So they are not strangers, and we are excited to do the baptism later this morning. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right. Friends, let us begin to worship God with our call to worship. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 610, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Be seated. Let us give our attention to our choir as they sing their anthem.
There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus in his death and resurrection. By water and the Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Isla, Lindsay, Morgan, and Gary to receive the sacrament of baptism.
I have a couple questions for you all. Don't worry, I'll tell you how to answer them at the end. Do you desire for Isla to be baptized? If so, we say we do. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach the faith to your child? If so, please say we do. Do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Isla by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ, and to be faithful members of the Church Universal? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Right. I am going to pray now. Let us pray. We give thanks, eternal God, that you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. We ask that you send your Spirit to move over this water that is made a foundation of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Raise them to new life and grant them to the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that they may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the newest member of the Church of God. I'm going to bring her around.
You all can see it.
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Lord, have mercy upon us, heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus. Amen.
Is not
profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, our practice in this church during the passing of the peace is to wave to our neighbors. So I invite you to greet your neighbors by waving. Good morning.
Good morning.
Seated. We are going to be seated for our congregational anthem. In a moment, I'm going to offer up the pastoral prayer. Just to let everyone know, at the end of the pastoral prayer, we always pray the Lord's Prayer together. And I know we've got folks from a bunch of different denominations with us this morning, so when we get to the debts, trespassers bit, just say whatever you feel comfortable with. God understands. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have assured the human family the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit. We now offer to you our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Bev Ruby as she is recovering from her fall. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we lift up to you all those involved at the accident in Manchester yesterday. We pray for the person that lost control of their vehicle. We pray for the people that lost their lives in this accident. We also pray for the blood bank that was trying to go about their business and is now trying to figure out what that looks like. Lord, we pray that you would send your Spirit to be with those involved. Lord, we are delighted that we are on the other side of this pandemic, and we are grateful for the things we can do this summer that just weren't possible last summer. Things like vacations and baptisms and hanging out with friends and family again. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for and to celebrate, but particularly this morning, we give you thanks for baby Isla, for her birth, and for the ability to celebrate her baptism here in worship today. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to remain seated for our hymn of meditation. We're going to sing Knowing You.
Thank you.
moment, we are going to collect our offering. Because of COVID, the offering plates are in the back. So if you didn't have a chance to drop your offering off before the service, you can do it on your way out. But friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10 and 14 through 17. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. So when we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Bless the reading of the word.
Thank you. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, I got to do my first baptism since the world fell apart last spring. So this week, I've been thinking a lot about baptism. Been kind of reflecting on my own, but also thinking about the role of baptism within the life of the church. Some of you may not know this, but I actually wasn't baptized in the Presbyterian denomination. I was baptized as an eight-week-old infant in the narthex of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. They baptize baby, or they start the baptism in the narthex of the church to symbolize that the child is not yet a member of the church. There's this really great picture of Father Patrick dunking me in the baptismal font while my mom looked on in horror in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. After Father Patrick dunked me, he anointed me with oil, and then he walked me through the sanctuary to show off the newest member of the church. This week I called my mom and I asked her what she remembered about my baptism, and she said what she remembers is that there were a lot of rules and it was a very long service. Growing up in the Orthodox tradition, it was clear to me from a very young age what was expected of me. I was to go to church every week, so one day I would grow up, get married, and then make my children go to church every week. But also from a young age, I felt that God maybe had other plans for me. And those plans eventually led me to the Presbyterian denomination as a young adult, and eventually to seminary and pastoral ministry. Right after I started pastoring, I got a letter in the mail from St. Michael's Church. The letter wanted to let me know that Father Patrick had passed away and inviting me, and I think the words they used, faithful and active member of St. Michael's, to attend his funeral. Now, I was a little bit confused by this letter. I loved Father Patrick, and of course I would go to his funeral, but how on earth was I still considered an active member of St. Michael's? I hadn't gone to church there in probably 7 years at that point. Also, I was pastoring a church in another denomination. What was going on here? So at Father Patrick's funeral, I sought out the choir director to see if he knew what was going on, because choir directors always know what's going on. And sure enough, he did. Turns out, my great uncle was continuing to pay my membership dues to St. Michael's Orthodox Church, even though Uncle Nick sat in the sanctuary while I was ordained in the Presbyterian Church as a pastor. But in the eyes of St. Michael's, I was still one of them. Friends, I wonder if I ask you why we baptize children, you might say something along the lines of, oh, well, we baptize babies so that they grow up and join the church. While we're delighted when that happens, baptism is more about marking someone as a child of God than it is marking somebody as a new member of our church. The reason that we celebrate baptism in the context of worship is because we believe that a person actually can't live as a child of God without a faith community. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church to raise a Christian. I was drawn to this passage from St. Corinthians this morning because I think it helps us imagine what new things God is doing in our midst. And it challenges us to get on board. Now, the new thing that God was doing in the midst of the church in Corinth is he's trying to get them to learn how to live by faith and not by sight. Remember, the church in Corinth was the modern-day equivalent of a church plant. They're used to just doing everything their pastor tells them to do. The only problem is that their pastor, Paul, is in Ephesus planting another church. So the church doesn't really know what to do now that he's not there. So Paul writes them this letter encouraging them not to worry. God's grace is sufficient for them to live by faith. I think the other new thing that God is doing in this church is he wants to offer them words of hope. Words of hope that Christian life isn't just waiting for some future reality. Christian life is actively participating in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God here and now. One way that the church does this is through the sacrament of baptism. When the church gathers to administer the sacrament, we affirm a call in the present that parents are going to raise a child in the Christian faith. But we're also planting seeds for a future that we have very little control over. I hate to tell you this, but not every baptized child is going to grow up to serve on the session of the church that baptized them. But I do believe that every baptized child is called to figure out where God is calling them to put down roots. This past week, I had the privilege of having coffee with somebody who is working in campus ministry. Now, this person was one of my youth group kids when I did campus ministry. Now, I probably need to stop calling him a kid because he's now like 25 and like 6'7". So the word kid probably doesn't apply. Anyway, he was sharing with me how the organization that I used to work for has changed over the last 10 years. When I was on staff, the goal of this campus ministry was to get people to join the organization that sponsored it. But over time, they realized that they weren't being super successful in that goal, so they pivoted, and their new goal is to help college students find a faith community and put down roots in it. And they see their job as helping people transition into that community well. This organization surveyed a bunch of their alumni to figure out what they were up to after graduation. And what they found is that the alums were still doing the things they did in college to sustain their life of faith. They were going to church, they were praying regularly, they were giving back to their communities. But due to the nature of life and work, a lot of them had to move across the country to work and raise families. So this organization decided to pivot their focus from getting people to join the organization here in Pittsburgh to helping people discern how God was calling them to grow in their discipleship. Or as we Presbyterians say, helping them to live into their baptismal identity. Friends, every time we do a baptism in the church, I can feel everybody getting really excited. I wonder what would happen if instead of getting excited that a new family is going to join our church, we get excited that God is inviting us to participate in a new thing. And this new thing is to help a new family raise a child in the way of Jesus, in this time and in this place. Knowing as we baptize a child, we have no idea what the church is going to look like when she graduates from high school, or maybe college, or maybe even has a family of her own. But we do know that we want to walk alongside her as she figures it out. Paul ends this portion of his letter to the church in Corinth with this exhortation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What Paul is saying here is that in order for new life to emerge, there has to be some dying of the old ways that we've done things. And yes, dying to the old is painful. But we are called to surrender to being made anew. For me, this means having a deep appreciation for the Orthodox tradition that formed me in the way of Jesus. But it also means following God's call into a different denomination. For you, it may mean coming out of this pandemic and discerning anew who you are and what God is calling you to do in this time and in this place. Now, I know this doesn't sound like good news. There is comfort in the old and familiar, and the new is uncertain and scary. But, and this is an important but, the old is actually already gone, and the new is actually already here. So it's not a question of, do we want to let go of the old and embrace the new? Nope, the new is already upon us. And here's the good news bit. The good news bit is that we are capable of embracing the new because we too are in Christ. Remember Paul, the guy who wrote this letter? He was able to transform from a persecutor of the church to a servant of the gospel. And he actually was like an itinerant church planter. Like, he did a lot of cool things after his conversion. But he was able to do this because he experienced the unsurpassable love of Jesus. Friends, we too have experienced this same love. And having experienced it ourselves, we can now go out into the world, proclaiming with joy, in word and in deed. We live by faith, not by sight. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me by our very appropriate closing hymn, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." Offer a word of blessing as we go from this place. We know our efforts cannot bring about God's kingdom, but hope plunges us into the struggle for victories over evil that are possible now in the world, the church, and our individual lives. Hope gives us courage and energy to contend against all opposition, however invincible it may seem, for the new world and the new humanity are surely coming. Jesus is Lord. He has been Lord from the beginning. He will be Lord in the end. Even now, He is Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.